Pastor Paul asked my wife Evelyn to preach on Mother's Day a number of weeks ago. And I asked for the honor and the privilege to introduce her. About 35 years ago, actually 35 years ago this summer, there were some strawberry blonde curls, a silk blouse, black skirt with a slit up the back, and black high heels that I was following down the road at Lakeshore Pentecostal Camp. And I thought to myself, I want to know her a little bit better. Little did I know that God was going to bless me with a wonderful partner and wife in Evelyn. Some of you may not realize, but as a young teenager, Evelyn actually played the piano at Pembroke Pentecostal Tabernacle for her dad, who was a guest soloist, singing at the old church on Renfrew Street. You might also not know this, but when Evelyn graduated from Bible college, the quilt that she received came from the ladies at Pembroke Pentecostal Tabernacle. We still have that quilt. It's still an honored treasure that we keep in our home. Evelyn has led an incredible life. Before me, she graduated from Eastern Pentecostal Bible College. She ministered at Trinity in Montreal. Then she was at Evangel Temple with Bud Williams in Toronto. From there, she went to Hamilton. She was on staff and ministered with David Shepherd. And then from there, she came to the district office in Belleville, which is where I really got to know her very well. At district office, one of her responsibilities was to look after the evangelists when they came to camp. And I was the children's evangelist, and she looked after me very well. Evelyn has worked alongside of me as a partner in ministry, as a friend, and as my wife. Through those years, she has led ladies' conferences. She's been involved in worship ministry. Her ministry of piano and singing, she has not only recorded her own CD, but she has imparted her gift to many young people along the way as she taught piano lessons. On top of that, she's a good mother. She is a great grandmother. She bakes cookies, which I seldom see any of, because they get put into a box and sent off to our grandsons who are stationed right now with their parents in Gagetown, New Brunswick. On top of all of that, God has blessed her with a calling and a ministry to preach the Word of God. And so it is with some pride, but certainly a great honor, that I introduce Mrs. Evelyn Bowes as she comes and ministers the word this morning. Would you welcome her with me?
Well, good morning. I'm sort of looking around. Who's he describing? I don't know. Oh, wow. The Lord is good. And I'm so glad to be here this morning and to share the Word of God with you. As we approach the celebration of Mother's Day, I'm just going to put that right there. The varied experiences of motherhood represented here today could be as numerous as the fingerprints on our hands. There are probably present new mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, godmothers, stepmothers, adopted mothers, mother-in-law. There may be present bereaved mothers, single mothers, working mothers, homeschooling mothers. And perhaps you're a single man trying to fulfill the role of both father and mother. We all come varied walks of life and different experiences. And probably as mothers, if we compared, they will all be so different. But regardless of the differences that may exist, we have gathered here today, united as one, under the banner of Jesus Christ, the one who has saved us, and to praise and lift up his name. The pastor has been preaching a series of messages from the minor prophets, giving us ancient words for an anxious world. This morning we will see God's grace at work in the lives of two different mothers through the life of a major prophet named Elisha. You ask, well, who is Elisha? Elisha was called away from his life as a farmer to be a disciple by the prophet Elijah. The story is recorded for us how Elijah threw his mantle over Elisha, who then received a double portion of his mentor's spirit. Elisha worked in the northern kingdom of Israel during the 9th century BC, a time of intense political and spiritual trouble. He served as the man of God, advising kings and performing numerous miracles. Elisha is credited with performing more miracles than any other Old Testament prophet. Our pastor repeatedly says, we believe in miracles. Amen. Let us pray together that our minds and hearts will be fed today from the sharing of God's word. We ask you, Father, for your blessing as we open your word. Turn our focus upon your Son, Jesus Christ, and we rely on your Holy Spirit to open our eyes and open our ears that we would receive your truths today. Amen. The first mother that we're going to look at is found in, actually both mothers are found in 2 Kings chapter 4. The first 7 verses describes the life of the first mother. Story goes like this. One day, the widow of one of Elisha's fellow prophets came to Elisha and cried out to him, your servant, my husband, is dead. You well know what a good man he was, devoted to God, and now the man to whom he was in debt is on his way to collect his payment by taking my 2 sons as slaves. In other words, her husband had died. She had no life insurance. Don't think it existed then. She only had her 2 sons. And in this type of culture, the woman could not amass wealth. It was only the men. And so if the 2 men were taken away in slavery, she would have been left destitute. She was dependent upon those 2 sons. According to the law stated in Deuteronomy, poor people and debtors were allowed to pay their debts by selling themselves and their children. God ordered rich people and creditors not to take advantage of these people during their time of extreme need. But it is worthy to note that with the loss of her 2 sons, she would be left destitute. They were not following the spirit of the law that was intended, because the rich people were not supposed to do this. In Luke 20:47, Jesus spoke against the proud leaders in the temple who had taken houses from the poor and whose husbands had died. Even Jesus spoke against this. And so Elisha looked at the woman and said, well, how can I help? He said, tell me, what do you have of value in your house that you could possibly sell? In other words, can you do a yard sale? Can we do an auction? What can we do? Do you have anything of any value? And she said, No, I really have nothing of value. Oh, just wait a minute. I do have a small jar of oil. Now, I'm presuming that this might have been something like olive oil, cooking oil. We know what the price of fuel oil is today, but we all know what the price of olive oil is too, right? It's become expensive. And perhaps it was olive oil that she had. She said, I have a small jar of olive oil. Here's what you are to do, said Elisha. Go up and down the street and borrow jugs and bowls from all your neighbors. And don't borrow just a few, borrow as many as you can. Then come home, lock the door behind you and your sons, start pouring the oil from the small jar that you have into each container, and when they are full, set it aside. So that's what they did. She and her sons went out and they borrowed all the jars from around town, as many as they could get. They went in and they locked the door. And she began to pour the oil until each of them, the jugs were full. Then she turned to her son and said, another jug, please. He said, oh, Mom, we've filled the last one. We're all full. She said, okay, what do we do now? So she went back to Elisha. She said, we have filled all the jugs. And he said, go sell the oil. Make good on your debts. In other words, you will make enough from all of the oil that you've gathered to pay off your debts. And you and your son can live off the rest of the oil. What a miracle. Can you imagine being behind those closed doors and pouring that oil and it's coming and it's coming and it's coming? What a beautiful miracle. So point number one, rest in God's grace. The first thing the widow did was seek the help of God. In the midst of her sorrow and loss of husband, she chose not to fall into despair and give up on living. No, instead, she called out to Elisha, the man of God. And the instructions that he gave to her did not make natural sense. It didn't make sense. But rather than argue between her and her sons, running and hiding from the circumstances, they decided to put their trust in God. And that's what we can do. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, many of you probably memorized it or you have it on the front of your fridge. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And then Psalm 2:12 says, blessed are all they who put their trust in him. Now the word trust that appears there is the characteristic Old Testament word for the New Testament words faith and believe. It occurs 150 times in the Old Testament and is the rendering of Hebrew words signifying to take refuge, to lean upon, to roll on, or to wait for. Isaiah 8:11 to 14 says, the Lord has said to me in the strongest terms, do not think like everyone else does. Do not be afraid that some plan conceived behind closed doors will be the end of you. Do not fear anything except the Lord Almighty. He alone is the Holy One. If you fear him, you need fear nothing else. He will keep you safe. Wow. What a promise. What a promise that the Word of God has given us so we can rest in in God's grace. Point number two, be restored by God's grace. The amount of oil produced was enough to pay the outstanding debt. The two sons were spared from a life of slavery, and there was enough oil to sell for them to live on. Christ has redeemed us. Through his death on the cross, he paid the ransom for our freedom from a life of slavery to sin and to shame. God's grace has provided the power to give us an abundant life. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Isaiah 55, verses 6 to 9 says, seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him now while he is near. Let people turn from their wicked deeds. Let them banish from their minds the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. My thoughts are completely different from yours, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything that you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Trust in the Lord. Let's not put a limit on what God can do. There's a little store in Petawawa on Petawawa Boulevard that I like to go to. I like it because I like the motto that he's got on the front of store. Unlimited goods for a dollar. Unlimited. I think, well, you know, he has quite a thought. Have you been to that dollar store? Right beside the Tim Hortons and the Wendy's? He's got everything in there. But I was awake in the night thinking, what if he gets up in the morning and he says goodbye to his wife and he said, well, dear, I'm going to my unlimited business. What if we woke up in the morning and said, well, Lord, Holy Ghost, you're with me. And wherever I go, whatever I do, I'm walking with your unlimited resources, your unlimited power. And whatever I face today, whatever problems, whatever challenges I have, your unlimited power is within me, and I can face whatever today may bring my way. Amen. Unlimited power that we have in Christ. All right. We sing the chorus. He's our, you know, sometimes I get a little discouraged. A challenge comes up and I start saying, Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in my darkness, my God, that is who you are, right? Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in my darkness, my God, that is who you are. And I might start singing it out in a whisper, and then it gets louder, and it gets louder. And my husband works in our home, and he probably gets frustrated because I sing it over and over and over until I'm singing it really loud. And then I start doing a dance. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in my darkness. Hallelujah! He is a good God who is able. Let's look at the second mother. One day Elisha passed through the town of Shunem. A wealthy woman lived there, and she invited him to come and eat some food. From then on, whenever he passed that way, he would stop there to eat. "I'm certain," said the woman to her husband, "that this man is a holy man of God. Why don't we add a small room upstairs and furnish it with a bed and a desk, a chair and a lamp, so that when he comes by, he can stay with us?" She'd met this man of God, and he'd come to her home a number of times. She said, "Let's make room." And we sang the song this morning, "I Will Make Room for You." And last Sunday, as the pastor preached, one of the points of his message was, we need to make room. And I thought, oops, he's preaching the same point. Oh, well, I guess that's what God really wants us to hear. Make room in your life for Christ. Make room for what God wants to do. Our relationship with Christ needs to be a priority. He wants a relationship with you. In the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." I've got it in the King James because that's how I memorized it as a kid. He wants a relationship with her. So Elisha, he would stop there and visit, and they built a relationship with each other, this Shunammite woman. "Call her in," said Elisha to his servant Gehazi. And he said to the woman, "You've gone far beyond the call of duty in taking care of us. What can we do for you?" Now, I like this part. "Do you have a request we can bring to the king or to the commander of the army?" Now, just think about that for a minute. The man of God is staying in the house, and he said, "I believe the Lord wants to do something good for you. I can go and speak to the king, and he'll do what I request. I could go to the commander of the chief of the army." Imagine, what would you like done? She said, "Well, there's really nothing I need. I have everything." She said, "I am content." It's easy to look at other families and say, "Why can't I be like that one?" Huh? We've all done it, right? In your moment of despair, why can't I be like that family? But God doesn't want you to be jealous of any other. You are unique. God has a place for you. He has a plan for you and your family. And he has a special purpose for you. And so the prophet of God says, "Well, I'm glad you're content, but I still think God wants to do. He has more for you." She'd made room for the man of God, and now he's telling her, "But there's even more that God wants to do for you." And then he prophesied to her, and he said, "This time next year, you're going to be nursing an infant son." Wow. That's quite a shock. "Oh, my master, oh, holy man," she said, "don't play games with me, teasing me with fantasies." Now, perhaps her understanding of God's promises wasn't full or complete. Maybe she had experienced disappointments in her life. We don't know. But when the prophet of God said, "You're going to be holding a child a year from now," she said, "I don't know." But a year later, just as Elijah had said, she had a son. And then he grew up, and one day he went out in the field to work with his father. And while he was working there, he went to his father and said, "Oh, my head, my head." And he fell to the ground. And he said to the servant, "Carry him to his mother." And the servant took him to his mother's arms. And she held him until noon, and he passed away. So she picked him up and laid him on the bed of the man of God. And then she left there. First of all, her husband, she said, "I'm going to go travel to Mount Carmel. I'm going to talk to Elisha the prophet." And his response was, "Well, it's not a moon festival and it's not the Sabbath. Why are you going?" Now, you need to understand that it was about 20 miles from Shunem to Mount Carmel. No, it's not Carmel. It's Mount Carmel. I like the candy caramel, but it was Mount Carmel. It was 20 miles. That would be like from here to Cobden. And she got on a donkey. Now, I complain about the potholes on the streets in Pembroke, how bumpy it can be. But can you imagine traveling from here to Cobden on a donkey? And the Word of God says that she traveled so fast, she said to her servant, "Just don't stop me. I don't need a rest or a break. I'm in a hurry. I need to get to the man of God. My son has died. This is an emergency. I'm going to meet with the man of God," because maybe she had faith that there was going to be something else that was going to happen. This wasn't the end of her story. God had blessed her with a son, and she believed in her heart there was still a purpose and a plan for her and this son. There was still going to be something else that was going to take place. And so she rode a donkey. Now, a donkey can travel about 3 miles an hour. And she said to her husband, "I'm going to go there tonight, and I'm going to come back." So that was an 8-hour trip on a donkey. Wow. It must have been the Holy Spirit that carried her there and back. That's all I can say. And the servant ran along beside her. One man I looked up said that a man can run about 3 miles per hour. I don't know what some of you soldiers can do. I know that you do marathons. Maybe you can go faster than that, Andrew. Can you? I don't know. 3 miles an hour. Anyway, it was a long trip, and she found the man of God. From a far way off, he said to her, "I see her coming. What's her problem?" He said to the servant. So the servant went out and greeted her and said, "What's wrong?" And she said to him, "Oh, nothing." Now, I don't know why she responded that, but she wasn't going to deal with the servant. She wanted to go directly to the man of God who had the power of God. And when she reached the holy man at the mountain, she threw herself at his feet and held tightly to him. Gehazi, the servant, tried to pull her away, but the man of God said, "Leave her alone. Can't you see she's in distress?" Then she spoke up, "Did I ask for a son, master? Didn't I tell you don't tease me with false hopes?" Elisha ordered Gehazi to travel to the boy and to place Elisha's staff across the boy's face. He said, "My servant Gehazi, you go on ahead. I'm going to get a drink here or something for her. We'll head back on our way, but you go ahead." Maybe he had a better horse than a donkey. I don't know how he got there ahead of them. But he got there ahead of them and put the staff on the boy's face. But nothing happened. Then later, Elisha entered the house and found the boy stretched out on the bed, dead. He went into the room and noticed again he locked the door and prayed to God. Why locking of the door? Because maybe the neighbors had heard about this taking place. They probably heard that the boy had done. There were other servants in the fields. And maybe they'd come around to the house to just curious, what's going to happen next? And it was the same thing with the first story of the mother. He said, lock the door. Just keep that in your mind for a minute. We're coming back to that. And so he prayed. Elisha arrived, stretched his body out over the dead boy. And the boy began to grow warm again. Elisha got up and paced back and forth in the room. Then he went back and stretched himself out upon the boy again. And the boy started to sneeze. And seven times he sneezed, he opened his eyes. He called Gehazi in, come get the Shunammite woman in here. He called her and he said, embrace your son. She fell at Elisha's feet, face to the ground in reverent awe. Then she embraced her son and went out with him. Well, we have the promise of the resurrection life, don't we? His resurrection power is with us. And we have the promise of Christ returning for us. So we can reveal God's grace through your life. Point four. Are we there? Okay. Reveal God's grace through your life. It's interesting that when Elisha's staff was placed on the boy's face, there was no change. But when Elisha stretched his body out, life began to come. Listen. The power of God does not reside in an object. There's not a magic wand. We don't have stone images. We don't have special trinkets that we pray with. The power of God worked through the person of Elisha. And the power of God works through the person of Jesus Christ in redeeming us from the life of sin and shame. He has bought us back. He has washed us clean. And now the power of the Holy Spirit resides within us. When you receive Christ as your Savior, there is a deposit of the Holy Spirit that is put within you. And the book of Ephesians says that it's like a seal upon the work that Christ has done for us. And God's grace can now work through you and I. The Apostle Paul said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. In other words, where our ability ends, God's ability begins. And he completes the work that he has begun. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. When Elisha breathed into that boy, the breath of God came into his body. In Genesis 2, verse 7, the record of God creating man and woman, it says, God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. John 20, verse 22, Jesus was with his disciples, and it says, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. The hymn by Luke Powell, written in the 1800s, entitled Breathe on Me, Breath of God, is a prayer to God for his Holy Spirit to be present in our lives. Let me read it. Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love, and do what thou wouldst do. Breathe on me, breath of God, until my heart is pure, until my will is one with thine, to do and to endure. Breathe on me, breath of Breathe on me, breath of God, till I am wholly thine, until this earthly part of me glows with fire divine. Breathe on me, breath of God, so shall I never die, but live with thee the perfect life of thine eternity. We can reveal God's grace by allowing the person of the Holy Spirit working through us in prayer. He has redeemed us. Make room for him in your life. The Word of God says, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you can ask anything in my name and it shall be done for you. Make room for the Word of God in your life today. When you start to feel a little low, start singing Waymaker, Miracle Worker. Start claiming the promises of God. Lean into him. Trust him. Rely on him. Depend upon him. Search him out. She traveled for 8 hours on a donkey to get to the source of the power of God. You don't have to do that today. All you have to do is kneel and say, oh God, help me. Oh, Holy Spirit, I know that you are with me. We don't have to ride a donkey for 8 hours to get back. All you need to do is call on the name of Jesus. And he's here today. His Spirit has been amongst us. His Holy Spirit is here. Why did they ask? Why were they given the instructions? Lock the door. Maybe it was because this was going to be a special private moment. This wasn't something for people to mock. This wasn't to be a spectacle. It wasn't for the fame of those involved. It was the power of God is not intended for personal profit gain. It's not intended for the glory of man. No, it's to the glory of God himself. And we are gathered in the house of the Lord here today. This is his house, and we've shut the doors to the sanctuary. And we've laid aside all of our differences and our thoughts. I might like blue, you might like pink, doesn't matter when it comes to the things of God. Amen. We are here in his house. It is called the house of prayer. And this is where we can call upon him and say, help me, Lord Jesus, to face the challenges in my life. Come, Holy Spirit, will you stand with me? And you can go to the next slide. We're going to read Matthew chapter 6. We'll read this, and then the worship team will sing, and as they're closing our service in song, I'll come at the front, and if you have a special need, I know it's Mother's Day, you've got luncheon dates and places to go and people to meet, and you've got family plans, but there might be some who are here, your heart is broken because you have somebody in your family that you are waiting upon God for. You have a need in your life. You don't know how you're going to pay next month's bills. I've been there. We've had miracles take place in our home where we didn't know how we were going to fill the oil tank, the furnace. We didn't know how we were going to heat our home, but we prayed and said, God, you know. We walked back to the end of the church, and on the table was an envelope. This was years ago. And there was an envelope with $500 cash. It was the exact amount of money that we needed to fill our oil tank to run our furnace.
Oh, I could stand here for the next hour and tell you miracle after miracle after miracle of what God has done for us. I'm nobody special. What God has done for me, He can do for you. And I still face challenges. We still face, as parents and grandparents, we still face challenges in our family. But we have had miracles take place. My one son called me and said, Mom, and he was almost weeping. He said, the doctors have told us, he said, this was when Brooke was expecting their second child. He said, the doctors have told us he's not going to be a normal baby. I said, son, we're going to take this to the foot of the cross, and we're going to believe that God's going to turn this around. A year and a half later, that little boy is running around and yelling and screaming and trying to keep up to his big brother. He looked pretty normal to me. God did a miracle. He turned things around. And God can do that for you today, too. Let's read Matthew chapter 6. When you pray, go away by yourself. Shut the door behind you. And pray to your Father secretly. Then your Father, who knows all secrets, will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. Your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask. So pray like this. Do we have it there? Will you pray it with me? Ask the Holy Spirit to work through you, and we call upon Him. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Lead us in whatever you have, Mary Lynn.